You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk, episode 300. Can't believe we made it this long, Randall.
Wow, that's impressive. I didn't even know we were at 300.
I saw it coming up a few weeks ago, and I remember when we did 100, and we thought we'd do something special, and we really didn't.
And it's middle of the season, so.
Yeah, and there's nothing really special about this one here, except we do have some cool deals for you that we'll mention coming up here. In today's episode, we're going to talk about fall camp's about to begin. The press conference is scheduled with Brian Kelly later this week. There's a little bit of recruiting news, some updates, an update in some of the rules as far as coaches, how they can contact, or what all they can do on social media. Semifinal games for the college football playoff, which hopefully Notre Dame will be a part of sometime, either if not this year, sometime in the future. And then Randall's got a Netflix series he wants to discuss, as well as some other Notre Dame-related player information or former Notre Dame player information. So I guess let's get started with fall camp. The press conference is scheduled for August 5th with Brian Kelly, and then fall camp officially kicks off the day after that.
Which would be on Friday and Saturday. So this coming Friday is the press conference, and the fall camp starts on Saturday.
And Randall, aside from one thing I wanted to ask you, aside from the quarterback competition, which I'm sure is at the top of everybody's mind, what position battle are you most interested in watching develop?
Man, it's kind of a tough decision because there's spots all over the field that will have competition. I didn't know if you were going to allow the defensive coaching staff to be part of that or not. So, but well, actually, I wouldn't be for that. That would be Tony. That would be you and Tony. So.
I posted it on Twitter, and they only allow four options. So it's wide receiver, defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs.
Okay.
So I guess out of those four, because the O-line, yes, there is a position battle there at the right guard. However, there wasn't room for more than the four.
Well, I'm sure the fifth would be the defensive coaching staff. So, but we'll just leave it at that. I was going to go with the linebackers just because it seems like we know who the starters will be, but it'll be interesting to see some of those battles and maybe have some of the young guys step up and play better than they have been. You'll obviously have Anawalu out there. Niles Morgan will be starting, and I'm guessing Coney, if he's 100%, will be the third guy, but we'll just have to see. I mean, Asmir Bilal is doing good. Martini, there's guys that'll be pushing them. And so it'd just be interesting to see who the starting three are on opening day versus Texas.
The first one that popped in my mind was wide receiver. We lose an all-time great, and although it is somewhat clear as far as who the three main guys are going to be, I'm still curious how that's all going to shake out and what's going to happen there. CJ Sanders, how's he going to come back? Is he going to be able to make a run for that starting slot position? Is Torrey Hunter really going to be able to even close to replace Will Fuller? Where does Equanimeous St. Brown fit into all this? So wide receiver is the first one that popped in my mind, but the linebackers, as far as our Twitter poll out there right now, linebackers are running away at 41%. Wide receivers, or next is the D-line at 26%, then the wide receivers at 18%, and the defensive backs at 15%. So I guess I'll take go ahead.
I want to hear your prediction of who the three starting wide receivers will be.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Corey Holmes when Brian Kelly said he was the fastest guy on the team. However, it's
a soft spot for Brian Kelly or for Corey Holmes?
Corey Holmes.
Oh, okay.
No, I think it'll be Torrey Hunter, Equanimeous, and then in my opinion, it depends how CJ Sanders comes back. It's a coin toss in my mind, CJ Sanders and Corey Holmes.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm confident that Holmes will be the starting slot. I think it's going to be Hunter EQ and Holmes is the starting three, and Sanders will still be returning punts, and we'll get some playing time at the slot.
Randall, have you ever gone over to Pro Football Focus's website and read some of their articles?
Not lately.
They had that article where they ranked, and they do a terrific job. They do a terrific job of analytics, looking at each play of every game. And they do a great job of grading out different players at different positions and also taking into account the strength of opposition as well. And they've got some great articles over there. Definitely go check that out, profootballfocus.com. And they've got a special deal for you guys where you can get their Fantasy Gold membership, which is a $40 value. You can get that for free if you sign up with FanDuel. If you deposit $10 into FanDuel, you get the Fantasy Gold membership, which is $40 a year for free. We have a link over on the website if you guys want to check it out. I did sign up. Unfortunately, I had signed up previous to this deal, so I didn't get this deal. But if you're into fantasy football, definitely go check it out. There's a link over on our website on the banner on the right-hand side.
Are you promoting gambling, Ruben?
I'm promoting doing things the best, doing whatever you do at the best you can do it.
Okay. Actually, I do like playing FanDuel, so I just had to throw that in there.
Well, this is a great tool, and this will be the first year I'll be using Pro Football Focus for my fantasy. I hadn't used them in the past for that, but I'm expecting to win.
Hey, it sounds like a good plan.
All right, let's move over then and talk a little bit about recruiting. Randall, there's an update in some of the rules that the coaches, how they can interact with players. Do you want to give us the information or the details on that?
Yes, yeah, starting the day, August 1st, as I understand it, coaches can now retweet recruits, committed or uncommitted, can retweet their tweets, and I believe they can comment on them and basically whatever they want. So they can, today the Notre Dame football Twitter account was tweeting out all the recruits that are committed, that are currently committed to Notre Dame, like their commitment tweet that they had sent out back when they did commit. They retweeted all those, and I guess the one funny thing was Mike Sanford sent out a picture, forget what the exact words were, I'd have to look on my phone, but some to the effect that when you realize that you can retweet this, and it's a picture of Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber, like this crazy look on his face, like in total shock, like in total disbelief that he just found this out. So Mike Sanford, I was having a little bit of fun. My thing is, I don't like this because it just, there's so much clutter on Twitter already. Like, I personally disable all retweets from recruits and stuff. Otherwise, you couldn't keep track of anything that's going on.
How many people do you follow on Twitter? Because I follow way too many. I follow about between 600 and 700.
I think I'm just under 600. But I follow a lot of recruits, and so it's kind of hard to go through all of them. The one thing I don't like is that the coaches, if it was an important tweet the recruits send out, it was already tweeted out by all the top sites. Like, we would tweet it out from our Twitter or all the other sites, ISD, Irish Illustrated, Blue and Gold, they would all tweet those out. So that's why you follow the media guys if you want to see that stuff. I don't feel like you, I don't want to follow the coaches to see all that. But we'll see. I don't know why it would be that great. Well, the recruits are saying, oh, this coach, you know, retweeted more of my tweets than the coach from Cal or whatever. I don't know.
It's just a lot more noise.
Communication, yeah. But I guess the coaches, you know, can let them know that, hey, we're watching you, I'm trying to stay in touch here.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm a fan of fewer regulations, so I support this move. But I do know what you're saying, and I yeah, the clutter can be annoying. Randall, there's also, did Osiris send out a tweet, something about making a decision coming up soon? Osiris St.
Yes.
Brown.
Osiris St. Brown, brother of Equanimeous St. Brown. It looks like he might make an announcement next week. And it's basically down to Stanford and Notre Dame. So it could go, at this point, it seems like it could go either way. Some people have him going to Stanford. Some people have him going to Notre Dame. So I don't think anybody really knows. It could go either way right now.
What does your gut tell you?
Man, I used to say Notre Dame, but we've missed out on a couple of these guys. Right now, I'm going to say he'll end up at Stanford and his younger brother will come to Notre Dame.
I think my gut's just always pessimistic because that's what my gut's telling me too.
Yeah. Are you still recovering from losing out on the receiver, the Will Fuller's replacement? We won't even mention his name on here. So, the only other news, some other news on recruiting is that Hezekiah Jones, a receiver from Texas that had been committed to Baylor and then decommitted when all their stuff started happening at the university, the coach stepping down and all that drama. It looked like Notre Dame was the favorite for a while, but he did end up committing to Texas A&M this past weekend, so looks like Notre Dame's out of the running for that. But I will say that Osiris St. Brown, I guess maybe the one positive thing I look at is that maybe he's stepping up his decision date, because Notre Dame has gotten a lot of commits the last couple weeks, and the chance to commit to Notre Dame's class, you know, those chances are getting smaller and smaller. I mean, the more guys commit, the less chance you have of getting in. So who knows? Maybe that's one, if you want to think positive about it, you can look at it from that side of it.
All right, and then there was also the college football playoff schedule has been a little updated a little bit. Last year, the New Year's Eve game, the semifinal game, really had a poor showing as far as TV goes, and so they made an announcement they're changing it now, so it will either be on Saturday or New Year's Day, the semi-final games. And this year it ends up, it is going to be on New Year's Eve, which is also Saturday. So this year it will still be on New Year's Eve because it's on Saturday. But from here on out, it won't be on New Year's Eve. It won't be on New Year's Eve unless it would happen to be a Saturday.
Which that is happening this next year, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. I was looking at something.
If you'd listen, Randall.
I was looking at the next thing I was going to comment on.
Well, go ahead. What do you have on your mind?
CJ Procise. You talked about him last week, about how he has a chance to get some playing time this year, how the coaches had some good things to say about him. And he was doing pretty good. Thomas Rawls, the starting quarterback, was still on the physically unable to perform list, and so it was time for CJ Procise, some of the other rookies, to step up and take advantage of this opportunity. But Procise ended up getting a hamstring strain, and he's going to be out like the next 7 to 10 days, what they're saying, which means that about that time is when Thomas Rawls could be coming back, so he might have missed a very good opportunity to get some more playing time this year.
That's disappointing.
So I'm sure there'll be all kinds of comments and reports about how he still hasn't transitioned from Notre Dame's strength and conditioning to the NFL.
Are you going to be ready to jump on that if there's some injuries this fall again?
Yes. This is the last year.
Okay, well, let's move on. You wanted to mention a TV series on Netflix that you found interesting. Before you do mention that, though, I do want to point some attention to Fan Essential. Fan Essential is like a gift box subscription for sports fans, and they're giving away a free box to one of our listeners. So to be entered to win, to get a free sports box of your choice, you can choose from. They don't have Notre Dame listed. They don't have a whole lot of college teams listed, but they have NBA, NFL, MLB, if you're into that. And then you can choose the sport, your size, your gender, and then every month you can get a free box of fan goodness. So it might be a t-shirt, sunglasses, poster, bag, just a random assortment of sporting gear to sport your team's, your team name and your team logo. And use promo code Irish Sports Talk without any spaces. But to be entered to win for this free, and we'll be doing this weekly, so you've got your chances are good. To be entered to win this free drawing, retweet the tweet about this podcast. So I'll have it pinned at the top of our Twitter page, and so you can simply go. It'll be about episode 300. Just retweet that, and we'll announce the winner towards the end of this week, so we'll give you a few days. We'll announce it on Thursday, so you'll have a few days if you don't listen to this on Monday or Tuesday. You've got a few days to listen to it and get that retweeted. But all you have to do is just retweet it, and then you'll be entered to win. We'll pick a random winner on Thursday. And again, that's Fan Essential. If you do want to go check them out, it's fanessentials.net, and just use promo code Irish Sports Talk when you sign up. All right, Randall, what's this TV show that you were talking about that you actually messaged? We have a little private messaging group with myself, Randall, and a few of the other guys. And you said that we have to watch this show, so tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, Netflix. Well, it was put on Netflix. I can't even talk. Just this last week, or just lately, it's in the new shows that are listed. But it's called The Last Chance U, and it's about a junior college in Mississippi. It's one of the top junior colleges. They actually won the national championship. Three of the last 4 years. Well, it's about the 2015 season, and they won in 14, 13, and 11. I think they lost in 2012. But they get a lot of the players from Division I schools that are trying to get into Division I schools, but their grades literally don't let them. Or they had Florida State's backup quarterback. He was at Florida State for his freshman year, and yep, going down there. Can't think of his name right now, but I do remember when he was at Florida State. Anyways, it's very good insight into how those junior colleges work. Those guys obviously have one goal on their mind when they come there, and that's to get to a Division I school as soon as possible. But it shows them, you know, working with the tutor. There's a lady that's in charge of keeping them, making sure they're in class, they have what they need. And it also goes in the locker room, and there's not a whole lot of editing. You hear the coach cussing and yelling at him, and it's just a very good show, and you can see how some of those players are, like, what they go through to get to Division I school. Obviously, none of them will end up at Notre Dame. When your test scores are at 55 and you're basically just trying to get C's so that you can pass your grades and get into college, they're not going to make it to Notre Dame. So most of these guys are getting offers from SEC schools.
And is this documentary style footage? Is it similar to Showtime, or is it more of a?
No, it's actual footage of them.
Well, so is Showtime. I meant a season with Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, you don't have like a guy. You don't have Morgan Freeman there talking about
narrating.
Yes, this is Morgan Freeman. Anyways, it's just a very good show, and it gives you a little more understanding on what they go through, and. Even shows a little bit of where they come from. I haven't actually finished the season. I think it's 6 episodes. I haven't finished it yet. But the places they come from, the trailers they lived in, you know, it's very bad or poor neighborhoods. And they're trying to make something of themselves. And some of them do basically want to give up and leave and don't want to put in the effort. But the some of the interesting stuff that happened, I won't give away
no
too
spoil.
Much.
Yeah, don't give any spoilers.
I'll say this: the other team, I was this team runs up the score all the time because these guys are trying to get their names out there and make it to the school. So they run up the score, and the coach does not care, and will run up the score on you. And so the other teams try to get into their head and get them to fight. So they just do just a bunch of stupid stuff on the field to try to get them to retaliate. And there was a time where refs got involved. It was the first time I've ever seen that happen. They had the commentators talking about it. It's the first time it's ever happened. So go check it out.
The refs get involved in the scuffle.
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's a good tease, Randall. All right. Well, I don't have anything else to discuss on our weekly episode. Anything else from you?
Yes, I do have to throw this in here because I was actually right on the subject. But Gunnar Kjell at Cincinnati.
I was going to try to. We're going to try to skip over that one.
Gunnar Kjell is currently the third string quarterback on the Cincinnati roster.
And why is that significant that you feel you need to bring that up?
Well, I do feel bad for Gunnar. But, I mean, I'm not glad that he's third string quarterback. But I did say that when he left Notre Dame, he was not as good as people thought. And
you think he left because the competition, he saw that he wasn't going to be a starter at Notre Dame, and that's why he left, because of the competition?
Yes. He knew that he couldn't beat out the guys that were there. And the guys that were there, if he was as good as he was said to be, he could have beat them. He should have been able to beat out Tommy Rees. And if you can't beat out Tommy Rees, your five-star quarterback that can't beat out Tommy Rees, there's something's not right.
And I had made the comment that I think he's going to end up playing in the NFL someday. This was when he transferred away.
Yes, but hey, who knows? You can start out a third string. All it takes is a couple injuries, some bad games, and he could be out there and have a good game and be the starter again. He did struggle with some injuries last year. I remember the one game I watched last year, he got hit pretty good, and they actually took him out on a stretcher. And he wasn't moving for a while. It looked pretty bad. So he has dealt with some stuff like that. But I just always thought he was overrated. It wasn't as good as everyone thought he was.
All right. Let's go back to our Twitter poll, just see if there's an update on that. And it's still, yeah, pretty much percentage-wise the same as it had been. Linebackers running away with it, then wide receivers, then D-line, then defensive backs.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. Do check back again. And I guess let me throw this in yet, too. We're going to be able to have this fall an analyst from Pro Football Focus on the podcast a few times throughout the season. So do show them some love. Check out the banner over on the website for Pro Football Focus and FanDuel. And we're excited about having one of their analysts on because they've got terrific, terrific data. And I'm just looking forward to hearing it for myself, but also sharing it with you guys too. So I guess that's all I've got. Thank you for listening. And then check back again in a few days for another episode. And go Irish.
Go Irish.